Well, Thanksgiving week. Do you have something that you're going to be thankful for this week?
Being alive.
Being alive. How about this family right over here? You got a lot to be thankful for. This. Amen. Amen. Yeah, good relationship. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we give you glory and praise and thank you for today. Lord, I ask you just take these few minutes and speak to our hearts, Lord. We give you thanks for that. Holy Spirit, just open us up to receive. Don't leave us like we are, but Lord, change us. Change us into the image of your Son. Every day, every way, Lord, change us. We give you thanks for that. Holy Spirit, speak through me. Use this message to touch us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I want to welcome you all to Thanksgiving Sunday morning service, amen. And I'm hoping to let you out early this week, especially after the lengthy service we had last week. So it's ironic that we have just gotten started and we already have something to be thankful for, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Have you ever seen something awesome or amazing, but your response to it was less than enthusiastic? Perhaps you were even unthankful for this wonderful event. It's only appropriate during this time of year that we talk about giving thanks. After all, our entire nation is celebrating Thanksgiving, right? Entire nation. Why is this so important? What is it that prompts such attention on the season of Thanksgiving? Well, I recently heard that there is now a movement to change Thanksgiving Day into a day from a day of giving thanks into a day of mourning. Isn't that something? Sounds shocking, and you might say, how could this be? But you got to remember that we now live in a generation of ungrateful people. Amen. It appears that there are some folks who are just impossible to please, no matter what you do. And I'm going to give you a little story to illustrate that. A large dog walks into a butcher shop carrying a purse in its mouth. He puts the purse down and sets in front of the meat case. "What is it, boy?" the butcher jokingly asks. "Want to buy some meat?" "Woof," barks the dog. "Hmm," says the butcher, "what kind? Liver, bacon, steak?" "Woof," interrupts the dog. "How much steak? Half a pound, 1 pound?" "Woof." The amazed butcher wraps up the meat and finds the money in the dog's purse. As the dog leaves, a man is waiting in line. He's watching everything that just happens, and he decides to follow the dog. It goes down the street and enters an apartment house, climbs to the third floor, and begins scratching at the door. With that, the door swings open, and an angry man shouting at the door, at the dog. "Stop," yells this man that's watching. "He's the most intelligent animal I've ever seen." "Intelligent," shouts the man. "This is the third time this week he's forgotten his key." Can't please everybody all the time. As we contemplate Thanksgiving, let me ask you how you feel about this holiday. Is it one that seems to flow naturally for you as you look forward to its arrival? Or do you really have to work to enjoy it, hoping it'll pass quickly? Are you thankful to God for the life you have, or do you feel disappointed? or unhappy with circumstances and how life has treated you. This morning I want us to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting with verse 16 through 18. And it says this, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Let me read it again. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 through 7, it says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Amen. Now, that's a passage you don't often hear quoted in context. The word abase means to reduce or lower, as in rank, office, reputation, or estimation. To humble, to degrade. So Paul is putting it this way. He's saying, I can go through the humbling, hard times in life, the times of lack, the times of frustration, the despairing times when dreams fail to materialize, the long waiting periods between promise and manifestation, the battling times, the resisting temptation times, and I can do it with a heart of thanksgiving, not in my own strength, but through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? It is often difficult for us to be thankful in this fallen world, because as fallen people, our nature is one of selfishness. And because of our self-absorbed nature, we believe that life should be full of sunshine and roses. Things should go well for us. However, when our preconceived ideas about life don't materialize, we focus on that which we don't have. And our natural response is to complain about it. Complain about it. And if that's you, you can say, "Oh, me." No complainers in here, praise God. Got liars in here, though. It is a special grace from God, folks, special grace from God that opens our hearts and eyes to the spirit of thanksgiving and a true contentment through Jesus Christ, a true contentment. Many times the grace that produces the thankful heart and real contentment comes through experiencing and enduring seasons of lack. A young man was feeling very proud of himself. As a brand new college graduate, he had taken the CPA exam and passed with flying colors. Now he was a full-fledged certified public accountant. His father had been an immigrant to the U.S. and now owned his own little business. Filled with self-importance, the young man began to criticize his father's way of keeping books. He said, "Dad," he scolded. He said, "You don't even know how much profit you've made. Over here in this drawer is your accounts receivable. And over there are all your receipts. On top of that, you just keep all your money in the cash register. You don't have any idea how much you've made." The father responded, "Son, when I came to this country, the only thing I owned was a pair of pants. Now your brother is a doctor. Your sister is an art teacher. And you are a CPA. Your mother and I own our home. We have a car, and we operate our own little business. Now add that up, subtract the pants, and all the rest is profit." Amen. 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 As American Christians, we have so much to be grateful for. But it seems that this young man in his story had taken for granted many of those blessings. He had become self-centered and self-absorbed, overlooking the hardships that his parents suffered to provide for their children. So let's consider for a moment how we can move into that place of thankfulness, even through the hard times we're called to endure. And this is how. It's a matter of focus, and it's a matter of attitude. Matter of focus and a matter of attitude. I want to go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, starting with verse 22. Luke 12, starting with verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat and what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. And then verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." Amen. Amen. All these things. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33, it says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Amen. Amen. When you hear those verses, what response was evoked in you? Do you feel guilty? Do you feel humbled? Perhaps you feel convicted or unworthy because of your constant concern about yourself. Do you feel alienated from God because you think he doesn't relate to your pain? Brothers and sisters, God does relate. He does care. He knows your struggles, and he knows your needs. In fact, God has been where you are and even beyond. In Mark 15, verse 33 and 34, it says, "Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus can relate to whatever pain you suffer. Whatever pain you suffer, because no human being ever endured the kind of agony that Jesus did upon that cross, even to the point of being separated from his Father. Jesus is able to strengthen you no matter what the problem, the challenge, the difficulty, or the crisis. He will walk you through it. Amen. It is in our time of trial that we must turn our focus, folks, our focus on Jesus and begin to rejoice and give thanks, knowing that he has the answers. He has provided the way, and he's made us to overcome. Hallelujah. Give thanks and rejoice, for the devil is defeated. The devil is defeated, folks. Amen. And our God is on the throne. It is also necessary for you and I to consider reality. Now listen closely. God knows we need bread to eat, bread to live, He knows we need bread to live. Here's a portion of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, verse 10 through 12. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Earlier in Matthew 6, verse 7 and 8, it said this, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. Amen. Amen. Missionary Hudson Taylor had complete trust in God's faithfulness. In his journal, he wrote, "Our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that His children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect He will send 3 million missionaries to China, but if He did, He would have ample means to sustain them all." Isn't that something? Psalm 37, verse 23, 24, and 25 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. I've been young, and now I am old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread." So God knows we need bread to live. Next, God provides the bread we need to live. He knows we need it, and He provides it. Everywhere Jesus went, He met the natural needs of His followers as well as the spiritual needs. Jesus revealed to mankind the true nature of the Father, and He was provided a demonstration of the kingdom. Whatever need people had, Jesus met the need. He never turned anyone away. Never turned anyone away. To the hungry, He gave food. To the outcast, He gave acceptance. To the sinful, He gave forgiveness and mercy. And to the sick, He gave healing. In Mark chapter 10, verse 15, 51, 52, and throwing aside His garment, He rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered, said to Him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to Him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Matthew 12, 13 and 14. Then He said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against Him how they might destroy Him. And in Matthew 15, verse 34 through 38, Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, "Seven and a few little fish." So He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And He took the seven loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them, gave them to His disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up seven large baskets full of the fragments that were left. Now those that ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. Jesus performed countless miracles, but we still ask the questions, why are some still hungry? Why are some not healed? Why do some remain rejected and outcast? I ponder those questions too, and I may not have the answers to all those questions, but what I do know is that when Jesus performed these miracles, He assured us that if we've seen Him, we have seen the Father. Since we are certain of what our Father is like, then I must believe that the answer to these questions lies with us. We know that unanswered prayers are not the fault of the Father, and I certainly don't want to lay blame anywhere, nor am I satisfied with pat answers. We just can't say, "It must be because you lack faith." That isn't good enough. I've seen too much of God's power and mercy. So I don't have an answer. I can't explain everything. But understand this, if I've seen Jesus, then I've seen the Father. And my Heavenly Father is the original lover, the giver, the healer, the acceptor, the merciful provider of daily bread. And my complaints are inexcusable. My crying about lack is unjustified. Besides, I've never known real lack. He is continually faithful. He is forever true and just. His kindness is unending. His grace is sufficient. His power is unmatched. His love is overflowing. His kingdom is glorious. I cannot help but humbly bow my head and my heart in reverent thanks to my King and Redeemer. Amen. 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 One more thought. God knows that we do not live by bread alone. Are you aware that it's just not bread or earthly things that are necessary for life? When we get into one of those thankless times and we feel empty or forgotten or forsaken, when we're knee-deep in a pity party, could it be because our whole focus is on our daily bread and we have neglected the bread of life? John chapter 6, verse 35 says, "And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." And then John 6, verses 49 through 51, "Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the loving bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Do you want to be thankful? How successful are you at seeking the bread of life? Saints, get your eyes off the bread of life, eyes on the bread of life. He was the one willing to give himself to meet our greatest need. Jesus came to give his life and to give it more abundantly. Abundantly. Is that not cause for praise and worship? Anyone who is more than 60 years old can probably remember where they were when they first heard of President Kennedy's assassination in 1963. British novelist David Lodge, in the introduction to one of his books, tells where he was in a theater watching the performance of a satirical review he had helped write. In one sketch, a character demonstrated his nonchalance in an interview by holding a transistor radio to his ear. The actor playing the part always tuned into a real broadcast. Suddenly came the announcement that President Kennedy had been shot. The actor quickly turned off the radio, but it was too late. Reality had interrupted this stage comedy. For many believers, worship, prayer, and scripture have turned into a nonchalant charade. They don't expect anything significant to happen. But then suddenly, God's reality breaks through, and they're shocked. They realize that they've only been eating natural bread. Sometimes God's truth is revealed through the message that has been preached, but understand, folks, the Holy Spirit can operate at any time in any place. The Holy Spirit's always willing and available to provide a greater measure of spiritual food to nourish you in supernatural ways. Oh, to feast upon the heavenly food, to be filled with the bread of life. Will you respond to God's offer of his daily spiritual bread and receive it with a heart full of gladness? Do you have a need for his daily spiritual bread this Thanksgiving? Do you need provision? Do you need healing? Do you need acceptance? Do you need mercy? Do you need forgiveness? Are you thankful you can go to God with your need? He is more than able to provide for it. Most of us could use a fresh encounter with the true bread of life. Have you been starving for the eternal bread while feasting only on the natural bread? Do you recognize your need for a spiritual feast, a feast filled with thanksgiving? This is a week where a whole nation turns toward thanksgiving. Most of the nation doesn't know why they're thankful. They're just supposed to be. But folks, as Christians, we can be thankful. We know the reason why we can be thankful. And although God provides our natural food, He also provides our spiritual food. And this is a week that we can draw close to Him and receive some fresh spiritual food. Amen? Amen. Amen. Can we stand together? We're going to pray. You can beat the Baptist to the restaurants today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.